Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Yesterday morning we were thinking about the glory of God. There's something about the glory in both these passages. But what does actually give God the glory in our lives? Say, well, the fruit. By this, Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. But he says that within a particular context, where he's talking about the disciples being the branches of the vine, telling them to continue to live in him, and he will continue to live in them. One of the biggest difficulties for people in, quotes, full-time Christian ministry, as we all are here at Kingdom Faith, is that we can lose our sense of identity. What I mean by that is we begin to find our identity in what we do. Rather than in who we are. And we think, therefore, even if this is in a subconscious way, that God relates to us because of what we do, that he is pleased with us or otherwise because of what we do. Now, this is a very subtle way of saying that everything depends upon what we do. That is a doctrine of works. That is law. It's not relationship. Now, obviously, if the fruit glorifies God, the fruit is going to come out of what we do. But you see, the thing that Jesus and the thing that both Paul, when he's writing to the Romans, and the writer to Hebrews is saying is that everything we do comes out of relationship. And therefore, the important thing all the time is relationship. As soon as you start to get involved in activity and forget the relationship, the activity becomes full of self-effort, self-determination. And we begin to strive to please God by what we do, rather than to accept his acceptance of us in Christ through the blood of Jesus. It's a very, very subtle thing. It takes on more serious dimensions, and you see this sometimes with people in ministry, when people are living for their ministry rather than for the Lord. You see, at one level, that seems a good thing. I'm living for my ministry. But if you're living for your ministry, you've lost the plot. Your ministry is not your Lord. Jesus is your Lord. You do not have a relationship with your ministry, but you have a relationship with your Lord. So if God is going to be glorified in our lives, it's not actually essentially through what we do, but it will be through the relationship that we have with him in his glory, because it's out of that relationship that we will bear the fruit that will give him glory. While you focus on bearing the fruit, you miss the plot. While you fix your eyes on Jesus, then you are able to bear the fruit. that he wants. So it becomes a kind of idolatry, a very subtle form of idolatry, when Christians are living for their ministries. They're living for what they do. They find their identity in what they do. Very subtle form of idolatry, because their ministry has replaced God as their focus. And that's why we constantly have to check ourselves out, say, well, what is my focus? I'm not living for a ministry, I'm living for the Lord. Now, if I'm living for the Lord, he will enable, he will enrich, he will enhance my ministry. But if my focus is on my ministry, then actually I'm going to condemn myself to a lot of self-effort and futility and frustration. Now, this can find some other very subtle things. Let's take, for example, money. Now, here in Kingdom Faith, we always need more money. Why? To fulfill the purpose that God has for us. So isn't it a very subtle temptation to pray for the money so that we can do the job? You see, that's only one step away from actually not intending to, but subconsciously criticizing God. Here we are, Lord, doing the job, and you're not supplying the money. Or not quite enough of the money. You see, it's like putting your focus on your ministry. It seems like a good thing to do, but it misses the point. And when we pray for money to do the job, we've missed the point. What is the point? God is our provider. God wants to provide for his children, not for the ministry, but for his children, for whatever they're doing, their ministry, their personal lives, every aspect. God is the provider. It's not a question of, Lord, we're doing your work, please. Please supply. I can remember years ago getting a letter from somebody about a former missionary who had cancer. And this letter detailed the wonderful, wonderful testimony of this woman's life. And the whole tenor of the letter was, just look how God has used this woman, just look the sacrificial way she's poured out her life for him. Surely God must want to heal her of the cancer. Very subtle, isn't it? Because you see, that's like saying, surely this woman has earned her healing. But every work of healing is an act of God's mercy. It's a gift of God's grace. It's got nothing to do with what she's done, what she's been, how God has used her. It's something totally different. We know that the scripture says fix your eyes on Jesus, but so often we actually fix our attention on the circumstances. And then we try to work out what God ought to do from the circumstances. Now you often hear me talking about revival and how different real revival is. And the reason for that is in revival, everybody just gets completely taken up by the Lord. That's really, I mean, it's one of the things that happens, is Jesus just becomes, well, everybody falls in love with Jesus all over again. It isn't that you didn't love Jesus before. It's just that Jesus becomes everything. He is your focus all the time in everything. Now, the result of that is his life then fills everything that you do. Not because your focus is on what you do, but because your focus is on him.
Yeah.
So how do revivals begin? One way or another, there's very many different ways in which God can do this, but people have a personal encounter with him. Not just an encounter, really. It leads to a new closeness and depth of relationship with him. So it's not really a question of desiring revival, but desiring him. Of wanting to know him, of wanting to be closer to him. And this is where, you know, we need to keep checking ourselves out, really. Camp was good this year. After camp, every year, I get the same reaction. It was good, but it could have been better. In what way could it have been better? Well, if we'd all been closer to the Lord, it would have been better. See, I can look back on a long ministry that, by the grace of God, has been very fruitful. And sometimes, you know, people sort of say you must be very thankful for all that the Lord has done. And that's true. But, you see, you can't help thinking, yes, but it could have been so much better. If I'd been closer to the Lord, if I'd loved the Lord more, if I'd been more fully devoted to the Lord and yielded to the Lord, how much more could he have done? Because you see, it's not actually about ministry, it's about relationship with him. Now that's not being negative about camp this year, because that's my reaction every year after camp. Yeah, well, thank you, Lord, for what you did, but it could have been better, and next time it needs to be better, because we're ministering out of a deeper, greater, closer relationship with you. So that more of you and more of your presence, more of your power gets released. But it's not just a question of, okay, well, next year, camp, you know, we'll believe that camp will be better. No, Kingdom Faith isn't about faith camp. What are we going to do for the next 11 months? Wait for faith camp? Or draw nearer to him now so that team conference, leaders conference, the new term, the new college year, all the ministry we'll be doing in the next month will be better. More of that glory we were talking about yesterday will be revealed. Not because our focus is on, oh, we've got to be fruitful, but our focus is on Jesus. That we are fixing our eyes on him. Because the more we do that, the more we will be fruitful and the more he will be glorified. It's one of these truisms, but it is really all about him. And in recent weeks, I've been dealing with one or two situations where the real problem is that the people concerned in these different, there's different situations, but there's a sort of a common thread that the people concerned are more involved, are more concerned about their ministry than about relationship with the Lord. And that's got things out of balance. And you want to say, never mind your ministry. Get your focus on your relationship with the Lord, and the ministry will look after itself. And this is what we impress, isn't it, on the students the first week in October, when all the new students are here, first week of term, that the whole emphasis of our training program is to build relationship with the Lord, because whatever a person's ministry is going to come out of relationship. You hear these dreadful statistics, which are hardly believable. Now, the average amount of time that most ministers spend in prayer every day is less than 5 minutes. What kind of ministry can they have? I mean, how can you bear lasting fruit if you don't spend the time building your relationship and fixing your focus on Jesus? I mean, it would explain, wouldn't it, a lot of the lifelessness, a lot of the soulishness that exists in the church generally, rather than the life and vitality of God's Spirit. Isn't it easy to get our eyes on the circumstances? If there's financial need, if there's sickness, if there's decisions to be made. Whereas really, the answer is always, well, draw near to me. And then, no matter what the situation is, that will be dealt with. So Jesus puts this very simply: seek first God's rule and reign and his righteousness. Then everything else will be added. Don't seek your healing, don't seek the money, don't seek the ministry. Just seek first God's sovereign rule and reign. Seek first being in right relationship with him, and everything else will be dealt with. Every other need will be met. Easy to know these things, isn't it? And yet not to do them. To realize that our praying even has slowly, often in an insidious way, become more and more a question of striving and trying to get from God or impress upon God what he ought to do. We never need to impress God with what he ought to do. I mean, he knows what he's going to do. He knows what is right to do. And he always wants to do what is right in every situation. And who are we to command God? Command mountains, command demons. But you don't command God. And all the time, you see, as the writer to Hebrews, he's got this sorted, this guy, whoever he was, one of Paul's mates. That it's just a question of drawing near to him. Just a question of keeping a focus on the throne, where he reigns as king. Just now, yeah, just do what Jesus said. Abide in me and I in you. That's it. Just keep at one with me. Just like I maintained that unity with the Father when I was on earth, so you maintain that unity with me now. Everything else will all be outworked from there. You won't have to sit down and plan this and work out this and decide to do that. just meet with me, keep that unity with me, and everything else will be obvious. Everything else will fall into place. It's called faith. It's believing that God could do it without us working it out for him. And it's because, you see, the scripture says, he has prepared the good things for us to walk in. So there's no point in us preparing them. All we've got to do is just be in that place of unity with him. So camp was good. Next month is going to be better than camp.
Yeah.
Next term is going to be better than last year.
Yes.
Yeah. Next year is going to be better than this year.
Yeah.
Next camp is going to be better than this camp.
Yes.
Not because we're going to strive more, not because we're going to get a fresh anointing on our ministry, but because we're going to draw closer to Jesus. And we're going to live more at one with him.
Yeah.
And as we do that, the provision will flow. As well as all the other blessing and anointing that we need. I always remember, you know, when we lived as a community, because we lived by faith, we didn't have any visible forms of income like we do now. We never ever prayed for money. We never ever in the red. Never ever. And we had no visible means of income, and we were supporting, well, up to 90 people. It sort of varied the size of the community depending on what was happening. And why was that? Because our whole focus was to meet with him. Just to meet with Jesus. And he looked after everything else. It's a different era now, but the principles are the same. The biblical principles, the spiritual principles, never change. So it's not a question of turning the clock back, but just realizing, well, what worked then will work now in a different way, but the same spiritual principle will work because it is God's word. So, let's do it. Do what? Keep our focus on him. And the only other thing I just sort of add to that is, well, that actually, the ability to do that is the outworking of our desire. And this is where everybody has to ask themselves, is my desire for Jesus or for a ministry that I think will give me identity, a sense of purpose, a sense of fulfillment? Do I find my fulfillment in Jesus, or do I find my fulfillment in what I do? Am I principally concerned about who I am in Christ or what I do because I'm in Christ? I believe this is what the scripture in Revelation means when the Spirit of God says, return to your first love. Because your first love was simply Jesus. You probably didn't understand much about ministry or how God would use you or any of that stuff when you first encountered him. And this is the subtle thing, you see, that happens, that love for Jesus is replaced for love for ministry. Love to be used, love to do. And of course, you can't love Jesus without doing. You love him, you'll love others. You love him, you'll obey him. You love him, you'll bear fruit that lasts, not just fruit. But it all comes out of that relationship of love. So you want to pray for your leaders, pray for their relationship with the Lord. You want to pray for the body, pray everybody's relationship. And of course, the more the relationship and unity with the Lord is the focus, the more non-believers are drawn into relationship with Jesus. They're not drawn into our ministry. They're drawn to him. That's the real test. That's why this coming year is going to be better than the last year, because we're going to see more and more people come to the Lord. That's why the next camp is going to be better, because so many people are going to bring non-believers or just new believers that are going to get really zapped by God next year. Praise God. But not because our focus is on what shall we do at camp. But by then, Jesus will be so much bigger in the hearts and lives of all of us. Let's pray, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And you see, the Lord is saying, I didn't choose a ministry, I chose you. I don't love your ministry, I love you. And your ministry comes out of my love for you. Because your love for me is only a response to my love for you. The call to the disciples was, follow me. Then you will have a ministry. I'll make you fishers of men. But the call is not actually to be fishers of men. The call was to follow him. Fulfill the call and I'll make you fishers of men. But the call is follow me. The call is come to me. The call is draw near to me. The call is fix your eyes on me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, it is even though we know all that we know, it's still amazing that you love us for ourselves and not because of what we do. That what you won on the cross was acceptance for us, not acceptance dependent upon what we do. But total acceptance that comes out of what you have done for us. So thank you, Lord, that every one of us in this room has been made totally acceptable and is perfectly loved by you because of your initiative, not because of anything that we have done. Deliver us from any thinking that would be a doctrine of works. To think that our acceptance is dependent upon what we do. We know, Lord, it's completely dependent upon what you have done for us. It's completely dependent upon that cross. And thank you that that cross is a finished work to which nothing can be added. So we praise you as we sit or stand here this morning. We stand fully and totally accepted in the Beloved. We don't have to do anything to strive or strain or earn an acceptance that is already your gift to us. Thank you, Lord, that we are perfectly loved by you. Thank you that it's out of your love that you want to provide for us. Out of your love, out of this unity of love we have with you, you want to heal us. Out of this relationship of love, you want to see all that you have planned for us being fulfilled. Forgive us, Lord, when our focus gets onto ourselves and what we do and off of you and what you have done. Who you are, that wonderful, wonderful love that you have for us. That eternal love that never changes. Thank you, Lord, that your love isn't a moody love that depends on circumstances. Thank you that your love is totally consistent every day of the year, all day, every day, no matter what is happening in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that when the going gets tough, you're simply wanting to draw us back into your love. Thank you that when we face challenges, you want to take us and draw us into a closer relationship of love with you. O rasatu pakarasita di santo pakalasita ba. Balatabari eletu pakalasita di santo. Po parasatari letu bakarasitri santo bakarasinama. Bo parasatari letu bakarasitri santo bakarasinama. Thank you, Lord. This coming season is going to be better than the present season. Oh, because, Lord, I believe you're going to create a fresh and greater hunger for you in the hearts of all your people here at Kingdom Faith. And I thank you, Lord, for all the ways in which we're going to meet with you at the team conference, and with the leaders, and the first week of term with the new students. Thank you, Lord. We have so many wonderful opportunities just to meet with you and get our focus on you and to be one with you and just to be brought through to a new place of complete dependence upon your love. And we praise you, Jesus. Lord, we just stand against that subtle deception that you owe us something because we're working for you. Therefore, you ought to supply and you ought to do this. Lord, we just realize that's really false thinking. And we just throw ourselves back into dependence upon you for who you are, knowing that you are faithful. You will never fail us. You will never forsake us. You will never leave us. Oh, we bless you, Lord, that your love will never, ever, ever fail us. Your word says, love, your love never fails. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Soturi satari eletu bakarasitu ba. Boratabari letu bakara sidari sanduma. Boparaza. Just thank the Lord that whatever that situation is that's causing you concern at this time in your life, it's already catered for. It's already dealt with. It's the answer is already there in his love. If we'd gone on to read You know, we'd have from Romans, we'd have seen that the next part is about offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him. That's it, isn't it? Offering your body to Him. Letting your mind be renewed by Him. Hallelujah. Just bringing everything in line with Him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that those of us that have decisions to make, those decisions are going to be made out of relationship with You. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord, that we don't have to plan the future of Kingdom Faith, that Your Spirit will lead us into the future that You have for Kingdom Faith. And we just give You all the glory and the honor and the praise for that, Lord. Thank You that even before the creation of the world, You planned what You wanted us to be and how You wanted Kingdom Faith to impact this nation and beyond. And we thank You, Lord, that this coming year we're going to fulfill even more fully that which You have purposed because You become so much greater in our hearts and lives. Oh, we bless You, Lord. We praise You, Jesus. Suratapariya letu bakara sitari santuma. Balatapariya letu bakara sitari santu bakara sutari santuma. Bapara zataria ledo bakara sitri sanduma. Bolataparia ledo bakara sitri sanduma. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, You've delivered us from all striving and straining and trying to be something, trying to do things. Oh, we just find our rest and our security in You, Lord. Thank You for that rest of faith. Just resting in You, resting in that unity with You. What a wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we thank You that today and every day You are with us. That we live in You and You live in us. That we don't have to depend upon ourselves today, but upon You. Thank You that Your Spirit is always with us, always in us, always ready to lead and guide us as the sons of God, as the children of God. So thank You, Lord. This is going to be a good day. It's even going to be a better day because You remind us of these truths right at the beginning of the day. And thank You, Lord, for the excitement of this new season that lies ahead of us. It's going to be so full of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank You, Lord. I bless You, Jesus. Just put a personal dimension onto this before we finish and thank the Lord for the new thing. The new things He's going to do in you and through you, yes, the greater fruit, because your relationship with Him will be closer. Your love for Him will be greater. Your revelation of His love for you will increase. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Praise Your wonderful name. And thank You, Lord, that out of Your love for us flows all Your provision for us. All the healing we need, all the finances we need for ourselves, for the ministry, for everything else. Thank You, Lord, for the faithfulness of Your love. And I just pray that every one of us at Kingdom Faith and all those related to Kingdom Faith will indeed seek first Your kingdom and that relationship of righteousness with You, believing that everything else will be added to us. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, let's just thank the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We bless your name. Purata paria letu bakara situri santu bakala sitaba. Balata paria letu bakara situri sanduma. O paparazataria letu bakara situri sanduma. Buparazataria letu bakara sitaba. Yes, 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 yes. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. This is going to be a year of the impossible becoming possible. Hallelujah. Thank you that when our faith is in you, nothing is impossible. Thank you that we're going to see greater things than these. Praise your wonderful name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is going to advance as we follow you.
Yes.
Praise your wonderful name.
Yes,
thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Just as we finish, you know, a disciple, the desire in the heart of a disciple, biblically, what a disciple was in the time of Jesus, was someone who wanted to be like his master. That's why a disciple just spent his life with his master. Eat with him, follow him wherever he went, be with him, sit at his feet, imitate him, because he wants to be like the master. Now, of course, he then becomes someone who does things. And the more he is like his master, the more he is able to do the things that his master can do. So Jesus sent the disciples out to do stuff, but not until first they had this desire to be like him. And Lord, I just pray that in every one of us there will be that heart desire to be more like you. And to stand against anything and everything in our lives that is not like you. Anything that undermines being the people that reflect your glory. So we give you all the glory, Jesus. We give you all the honor and the praise. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.